You're listening to Bob Harden, streaming live online at bobharden.com.
I'm Bob Harden, the host of The Bob Harden Show. One of my favorites for breakfast or for lunch is Lulu B's Grill. Lulu B's Grill provides great service, fabulous food, and a rockin' good time. Lulu B's Grill is a throwback to the 50s, complete with great music and a fabulous 50s decor. What I like best is the blend of great food, great value, and terrific service. Most of the friendly waitstaff has been there for years. I like the omelets or the uncarbo diet thing for breakfast and soups and salads for lunch, but you'll find the menu has everything and anything to satisfy your taste. Lulu B's Grill will quickly become one of your favorites for breakfast or for lunch. No reservations are needed. Check them out at www.lulubeesgrill.com and stop by Lulu B's Grill, open from 8 until 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and for breakfast only on Sunday from 8 until 1. Lulu B's Grill is located at the Marketplace at Pelican Bay near Publix on the west side of the trail. Stop by Lulu B's Grill for fabulous food and for forever cool, rockin' good time. Are you in the know? The Arlington is elevating Naples retirement living to a whole new level with a luxury resort lifestyle wrapped in the security of a continuing care retirement community. Located in Lely Resort between Naples and Marco Island, the Arlington is a not-for-profit community and will be the first completely new CCRC built in Naples in many, many years. With its Mediterranean-inspired architecture, the Arlington will offer maintenance-free independent living in freestanding villas as well as apartments. And since it's a continuing care retirement community, the Arlington offers a full continuum of both long and short-term care, including assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support on its own on-site healthcare pavilion. Stop by the Arlington Information Center 7 days a week at 12276 Tamiami Trail East in Naples, and for hours or to schedule a personal appointment, call 239-206-2646. That's 239-206-2646. Or go online to arlingtonnaples.org. The Arlington of Naples. Live brightly. Gulf Shore Playhouse, devoted to creating high-quality professional theater at affordable prices, announces its 2014-15 season with six compelling productions. In October, the season begins with Katori Hall's The Mountaintop, a riveting drama exploring both the myth and the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Then in November, see Body Awareness by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Annie Baker. Body Awareness cleverly skewers liberal pretensions and turns political correctness on its head. Then by popular demand, Tom Mula's Jacob Marley's Christmas Carol returns to Gulf Shore Playhouse, starring another stirring 18-character performance by actor Cody Nickel. See the uproarious production of Christopher Durang's Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, running in January through February the 8th, followed by a work featured in last year's New Works Festival, The Butcher by Gwydion Sullivan, which runs from February the 29th until March 22nd. Then from the comic genius who brought us Venus and Fur comes a new adaptation of one of the theater's funniest plays, David Ives' The Liar, which runs from April the 4th until April the 26th. Season subscriptions for next season and single tickets are available now. Single tickets start at only $40. Tickets can be purchased by calling the box office at 866-811-4111. That's 866-811-4111. Or visiting the website gulfshoreplayhouse.org. We'll see you at the show.
You're listening to Bob Harden, streaming live online at bobharden.com.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by the good folks at Johnson's Air Conditioning, Naples' longest established air conditioning company, as well as Naples Illustrated, bringing you infinite luxury lifestyles. Visit the website, naplesillustrated.com. Coming up, we're going to visit with Boo Mortensen. We'll find out what's new with Boo. Right now, we have with us Larry Reed. Larry is the president of the Foundation for Economic Education. Larry, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Bob.
So, Larry, for our listeners who may not understand or know about the Foundation for Economic Education, what's it all about?
Well, we're an educational organization. Our audience is primarily 16 to 24-year-olds, although our website, fee.org, has a wealth of information for people of any age. But our purpose is to educate and inspire young people in particular with the ideas of individual liberty, small government, personal responsibility, and character.
Terrific organization. It's been around for years. FEE.org, again, is the website, FEE.org. So you sent me a story about Sir Nicholas Winton just celebrating his 105th birthday. You had an opportunity to visit with him, and when I read the story and listened to one of the videos, it just literally brought a tear to my eye. Maybe you could tell us about it.
Yes, Nicky Winton is a remarkable man. He just turned 105 on the 19th of May. I've known him for the last almost 10 years. He has been knighted by Queen Elizabeth and is now across Britain quite well known because in 1938-39 he saved about 669 mostly Jewish children from the Nazis in Czechoslovakia. And he did that in a quiet way. In fact, didn't talk about it for 50 years thereafter. And then when the story sort of got out in the late 1980s, hundreds of those children discovered for the first time who it was who had saved their lives. And so he's been quite celebrated ever since. He's a wonderful, humble, remarkable man that I'm proud to call a friend.
For indeed, in fact, I watched the video. It was only about 2 minutes long, and this is on the Telegraph. I guess it's a publication from Great Britain. And it showed him sitting there, and a woman introduced herself, and he was told that he saved her life. It's the first time that he'd met her. She was so grateful. Her gratitude was just palpable. And then the host, and I don't know the location for this, said, I'd like all those who were saved by this man to stand up. And he was surrounded by about 40 or 50 people, at least, who stood up. And it was just an amazing thing. How did he go about doing this?
Well, when he toured the refugee camps in and around Prague, the capital of Czechoslovakia, in late 1938, this is less than a year before the Second World War broke out, he realized that these people, these Jewish families for the most part, were in grave danger, that Hitler was not going to stop with what he had seized so far, and that an outbreak of warfare was quite likely at some point, he felt. And so he had to act quickly to get them out. But no country in the world would accept the adults, and only two countries would allow even the children to come in. And so he went to work with so many of these Jewish parents, approaching him as a perfect stranger, asking, can you get our children out of harm's way? He organized a group of volunteers to do the paperwork, often forging documents to bamboozle the Germans and to get through the bureaucracy at the British Home Office. Almost all of the 669 that he got out went to Britain, where he placed them with foster families. And that saved their lives, because those who didn't get out, in great numbers, ended up at concentration camps when the Nazis took over.
So what kind of a life did he lead? I mean, when he was, I think you read in the article, he was 29 at the time that all this occurred. He's now 105. What did he do with his life after that?
Well, he started out as a stockbroker. When the war broke out, he joined the RAF, the Air Force, and fought for 6 years. And then after the war, went back into finance. Also, a lifelong charitable program of his are the Abbeville, or Abbey Field, I believe it's called, Homes for the Aged. And he's known around Britain as a very magnanimous philanthropist who has started many of these homes for the aged people. He still tours them, and to visit with the residents. And the amazing thing is, he's visiting people who are there because they're in their 80s and 90s, and he's visiting them as a 105-year-old.
It's just amazing. So tell us about what kind of a man is he? Tell us about your lunch, because you had lunch with him just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so he's an amazingly accessible and humble man. Every time I go to Britain, I call ahead of time, and he immediately says things like, when are you coming? Let's go to lunch again. And this time, because it was just a week or so before his 105th birthday, I took three friends and a birthday cake, and we celebrated with him. And for the first time in all my visits, he uses a walker now, but still gets around, and mentally, he's as sharp as ever. And the moment you suggest anything about, hey, you're such a hero, he doesn't want to hear it. He just says, because he's so humble, that he just did what he could and is glad that he was able to save so many. And, you know, he doesn't brag about it. And it just that makes him all the more endearing, I think, because you know he did the right thing, not for fame or fortune, but because it was the right thing to do.
Now, I take it that he met some of these people that he saved only a few years ago, as I recall, something like 2006, that I've forgotten the exact time. But since then, has he maintained any relationship at all with these folks?
Yes, with a number of them. It was actually in 1988 that he first met many of the, well, I shouldn't say first met, but first met as adults many of the children that he saved, because they were just finding out finally after all those years, 50 years, who it was who saved them. And they were, by that point, many of them in their 60s and 70s, but quite a number of them stay in touch with him now. Some, quite a few still live in Britain, but now they're often found all over the world. In fact, he's planning to go to Prague this fall, when he'll be 105 and a half, to visit with a lot of the children and to receive the highest award that the Czech Republic offers for his heroism.
What's interesting about this is he did this out of a need. He saw a dilemma. He saw a need for this to happen. He didn't do it under any fanfare or with any expectation for recognition whatsoever. In fact, the recognition was deferred till years later, was it not?
Yes, that's right. 50 years later, before, because he just didn't talk about it. And the big reason for that was, although he saved almost 700, he had a lot more ready to go and foster families all lined up to accept them when war broke out on the 1st of September in 1939, and they weren't able to get out, and every one of them was shipped off to a concentration camp ultimately, and none of them survived. So while you and I celebrate those that he saved, he's always been a bit, you know, quite bothered by the fact that there were many others that he couldn't.
Unbelievable story, and I'd like our readers to be. Is there information on your website about this?
Yes. If people go to fee.org and simply type in Nicholas Winton, W-I-N-T-O-N, they'll find an article that I wrote about him. And then also, if they go to The Telegraph, you can find that if you Google The Telegraph in London, the newspaper site, type in Nicholas Winton there, and you'll see a story written just last week about his 105th birthday, and it includes a video where you see him just a week and a half ago on his birthday talking. He insisted on standing up, in fact, to talk at his 105th birthday party.
Amazing. At telegraph.co.uk is the website that you'll find this column, and it is well worth reading. And do take a look at the video. It is extremely moving. Again, Larry Reed, the president of the Foundation for Economic Education, go to fee.org. Larry, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bob. Anytime.
All right. We're going to have more here on the Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.